Adam is the one that yielded to the force of death. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, who's he talking about there? Jesus. And so we've got the phrase in the next verse, and if you didn't mark it this morning, I want you to mark it. We've got the phrase in Adam. Would you say in Adam?
In Adam.
And we've got the phrase in Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
And verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, I want you to mark this down if you didn't do it. The in Adam yields death. The in Christ realm leads to life. And you need to see that hookup. In Adam brings death, and he says, in Christ brings life. Now, you know, if we were to study the verses above and below, we understand he's talking about physical, bodily resurrection. But there's a truth here in the spirit realm. If I go through life, even as a born-again Christian, and my mind is never renewed to the realities of who I am in Christ, then I'm going to miss out on the resurrection power, the life force that wants to flow now in this age through me. And so it's very possible to be saved and born again and be absolutely defeated. How many of you know that's true? I mean, there's Christians by the millions who, yes, they're born again, they love God, but they've never renewed their minds. They're still walking around with what I might call the in-Adam mentality. And they, you know, their whole identity. We talked this morning about the self-image, identity. How do you see yourself? Do you measure yourself by what others have said? Well, you're not good in this, but you're good in that. You know, well, you'll never amount to anything. You know, your uncle so-and-so ended in prison, and that's the direction you're going to go. And I'm telling you, people have been stood up in public school systems at times, and some misguided teacher would embarrass them publicly, use them as an example. Yeah. People are not very kind, cruel words spoken, and this embarrassment will come on you. And so all this goes in to how you see yourself, which determines, as we said, your future and how you respond to others in the future. Now, I'm here to tell you, God wants to break the in-Adam mentality in your soul, and He wants you to be established in the in-Christ mentality so that you begin to understand who you are in Jesus, who God has made you, what God has done for you, and the reality of it in Jesus Christ. Well, that gets me excited. How about you? Now, I want to use this example before we go on into new material, and that is the example of the thermostat. And I think this is such a wonderful example to understand in Adam and in Christ. We're all familiar with the thermostat. Basically, you set the thermostat, and its job is to begin to sense the temperature. So if you set it at 70, let's use that for an example. You set the thermostat at 70, or some of the women are going, ooh, that's too cold. All right, 74 for you. The men like it cold, the women like it warmer. You set the thermostat at 70. It should keep the temperature approximately 70. If it gets warmer, you know, in the summer, the air conditioner is going to cut on and it's going to try to bring that temperature back down. Back down. All right, you flip it around, you know, in the winter, if it starts getting too cold, the heat's supposed to cut on and it's supposed to bring the temperature up. But it's supposed to keep it in that range of 70. Now watch this. Your thinking is just like that. If you think of yourself as a loser, if you think of yourself as a person who's a $30,000 a year person, if you think of yourself as someone who's always sick, well, that's just my nature. My mama was always sick, and it just kind of runs in our genes. Bless God, you've got Jesus genes in you now.
Amen.
But if you go through life with your thermostat, are you hearing me? You've got a mental thermostat. If you go through life with your mental thermostat set on poverty, guess what? As soon as a golden opportunity comes your way, your brain is going to go into operation to pull you back down to that poverty level. I know some people that they miss golden opportunities and they wonder why the blessings don't ever stick to me. Because you are self-defeating. The way that you act and the way that you think defeats yourself. You shoot yourself in the foot. And so you've got to break those old thought patterns. You've got to begin to pull down those mental strongholds and become established and strengthened in what God says about you in His Word. So that, bless God, rip the thermostat off the wall, the sky's the limit. Amen?
Amen.
There is no top to the sky, so there is no limit. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I am in Christ.
In Christ.
I desire
my mind
to be in Christ.
See,
positionally, legally, by an act that was God Himself, you have been placed in Christ. But it's up to you to renew your mind and get your brain caught up with what God's already done in the spirit realm. To get caught up in the spirit realm. All right, now go with me to Romans chapter 5. Are you beginning to see this? Romans chapter 5. And I want to look at a couple of verses that really point to what God's desire is for every single believer. Every single believer. Romans chapter 5, and I want you to mark verse 17. He talks about the two men again. He's really referring to Adam again, and he's referring to Christ again in this passage. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned. I want you to mark the phrase there, death reigned. Again, he's talking to Adam. If by one man's offense, verse 17, death reigned by one. Ooh, I like this. Much more. Everybody say much more.
Much more.
Now, folks, can you get hold of that? He says, much more. They which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, mark it, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. He says you'll reign where? In life. Everybody say in life.
In life.
He didn't say heaven. He said in life.
In life. Right in life.
Now, what really gets me out of this verse is he says, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness, much more shall they reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, he's comparing the reign of life versus the reign of death. And he says, if you can get hold of who you are in Christ, and you can receive this gift that God has given you, God's grace, which is undeserved favor, grace, which is God's ability and enabling power, if you can begin to understand that God has made you righteous, and no matter what you've done in your past, you may have blown it 1,000 times in your past, if you'll put that under the blood and you'll go on in the power of God's grace and righteousness, it says, much more shall you reign. Now I want to ask you, how thorough has the reign of death been? Has it missed anybody that you know of?
No.
Come on now, we're talking about what is the extent of the reign of death. I mean, are you walking down the Buffalo streets and, you know, you see somebody over there that's walking around in a Puritan outfit and he's walking around looking confused. You say, hello, sir, can I help you? Well, I don't know where all my family is. I was born in, you know, 1721 and I'm still here. Death hasn't missed anybody. And, you know, if Jesus tarries, I've got news for you. Death's not going to miss anybody in this auditorium.
That's right.
If Jesus tarries, we could just about be, you know, precise. We could set a date about, well, you know, even for the younger ones, we'll set a date 90 years out there. And I just say everyone in this auditorium would be dead 6 foot under. And what you do with Jesus in this life will determine where you're going to be for eternity. But God says, I want you to begin to reign. Watch this. Don't miss this. I want you to begin to reign now in life more than death has reigned. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Let's say it backwards. Everybody say, wow.
Wow.
Hallelujah. You can say that one either way. Wow, wow. Turn it upside down. Say, wow, Mom. Amen. Praise God. Death has reigned, not missing one individual. And he says, much more. You say, well, how in the world can it be much more? I'll tell you. Don't miss this. Watch this. Death subtracts from people. Life will come into a situation, and I'm going to use my own example here in a moment. Life will come into a situation where you've been bombarded with abuse, verbal abuse. You've been around things that nobody should have to see, particularly when they're young. And life will come in and undo that and cause you to begin to reign now. Whereas death has an end, life will conquer death. The Word of God is plain about this. Death will be the last enemy. Life will actually conquer death. And not only will we reign in this life, we will reign throughout eternity by the power of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's how it can be much more. There is no end to it. There is no end to it.
Uh-huh.
Now, I found these verses and others. I can remember when I was a teenager, my parents, as I've shared with you briefly, went through a divorce. My daddy was an alcoholic. In fact, I talked to my dad today. He's a saved man, been saved for over 20 years now. But I can remember it wasn't always that way. And my dad, he was an alcoholic. And when he drank, you know, people react to alcohol different because it's a drug in liquid form. I mean, do you understand that? It's a drug in liquid form. And people react differently. My dad would get violent. And he would get abusive. I can remember as a youngster, most of my life, you know, as a young boy, my dad, you know, he was a good provider, etc. But when he would drink, I mean, he would just pour verbal garbage on you. I remember one night my dad stuck a rifle in my mouth, a loaded rifle, and he says, I'm going to blow your brains out, you sorry, blank, blank, blank. Now listen, particularly when you're young, this warps you. This has an adverse effect, to say the least, on your emotions.
Yeah.
It damages you. I can remember being downstairs and my dad and some of the other men that were in the neighborhood and others from his office and so forth. I can remember the smoke would be so thick in our house, it was like a nightclub. And I can remember, you know, locking myself in my room half out of fear. And I knew the next day there's going to be whiskey bottles everywhere. And I knew there's going to be cigarette butts everywhere. I can remember, you know, I remember all these horrible things. Used to, it hurt to remember them. But guess what? Jesus is the healer of the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Now, don't miss this. God does not come and erase memories.
No, He doesn't.
Why? Because those memories once healed, listen to me, those memories once healed are God's trophies of His grace and His life. God is not going to erase memories. He will take the hurt away. He will take the sting away. But He leaves it there because that becomes a trophy of His life and His grace. Life conquers death, but it's in Christ Jesus. He will turn your scars into stars. He will turn your scars into stars. So now I can stand up and I can minister with authority and power. It's not just theory to this man. I can stand up and I can say, I know what it's like to be verbally abused. I know what it's like to be knocked around. I know what it's like to sit at the table and never know what's going to happen. I mean, just in a psychotic type of environment where one day you do the same thing and everything's all right. The next day he's been drinking. Just reach over there and slap you upside the head for no reason. I know what it's like. And I can stand here in authority. I told you I was beyond normal. I am beyond normal. Why? Because I have been healed of these things and my scars are now the stars of the Lord. Do you remember how Jesus, He said, see here, when He was raised from the dead, the scars were not gone from His hand. The scars were not gone from His side. He said, put your fingers in here. Touch me. It won't even hurt. Why? Life has conquered death, and this is proof. This is a trophy of the resurrection power of God Almighty.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Now you start getting hold of this, listen to me, and discovering who you are in Christ absolutely will heal you and deliver you of anything you've been through.
Praise God.
There is no sin so dark that God's life cannot come in and conquer it and take a scar and a mistake and turn it into a star.
Praise God.
Anybody here ever heard of Joyce Myers? She's a wonderful Bible teacher. She's on about 150 radio stations and now pressing into television on quite a number of television channels. And I'm not saying anything that she hasn't shared publicly many times. In fact, got a book out on it now. But out of her own testimony, she was sexually abused as a little girl by her own father. Now, you can't go through that. You cannot go through that and not come out damaged and warped in your emotions and in your thinking. And she says this. She said, you know, the devil would come and sit on her shoulder and say, well, you know, if you ever do get married, you'll never have a normal sexual life. You're ruined. You know, you've been damaged and perverted. You'll never know what is to have normal sexual life. What God, you know, intended to be good. Oh, you'll never enjoy that. And you can begin to see how the devil plays with people's minds through things they've been through. And because you've done this, because you've done that, you'll never be normal. You'll never be this, that, and the other. I want to tell you what. Do not discount the power of God's life in Christ to come in and change and heal you and turn you around. And out of her own testimony, she is, again, she's beyond normal. She is super normal. Why? She's been healed of that and delivered of that. She and her husband, I mean, they just have the biggest time in the world. They travel all over the world and all over the country ministering for God. I'm telling you what, the devil's a liar. Amen.
Yeah.
And she stands there now, watch this, because she has been delivered in Christ. She stands in authority. This is just like God. He takes what the devil tried to destroy something with and turns it as a weapon back on the powers of darkness. She stands there delivering people by the thousands who've gone through all types of abuse of situations and verbal abuse and sexual abuse. And now she is a trophy of God's amazing grace and delivering power in Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
See, the mistake we made is we say, oh Lord, just come and erase it all. He's not going to do it. He will come and heal it. He will take away the hurt. He'll take away the sting. But He's going to use that as an example to others of what His life can do. But hear me well now. It'll never happen. It'll never happen until you get over the in Adam mentality and start identifying with what God says about you, what Jesus has done for you, and you begin to identify with who you are in Christ. Everyone say in Christ.
In Christ.
Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I'm a conqueror.
I'm a conqueror.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I can do all things.
I can do all.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I'm delivered.
I'm delivered.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I have provision.
I have provision.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Now you see, when you begin to walk in this, it'll cut right across the flesh. Because your flesh will say, no, wait, no. You don't remember this, remember that. Hey, and your flesh will start trying to tell you who you are according to your past, and you conquer it with who you are in Christ. I know what it's like to lay down there and the smoke filling the room and the men laughing loud and all this, that, and the other. And I can remember reading my Bible. I didn't understand everything that I'm teaching now. I had no way did I understand that. But I want to tell you what, the Word of God. You don't even have to understand. That's a wonderful thing. That you don't have to understand everything before the Word of God. The Word of God just come in there and start washing. The Word of God just come in and start washing. And just little by little, washing away this, washing away that, healing this, healing that. Joyce says this. She says, everybody else sings that song, He's the glory and the lifter of my head. She says, I know what it means that He's the glory and the lifter of my head. She said, I was so shamed by those activities. I could not lift my head and look other human beings in the eyes. He is the glory and the lifter of my head. She has confidence that's beyond normal. Are you hearing me? Now look at this. Go with me to verse 21. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, and I keep coming back to that, in Adam, sin, death, darkness, everything you don't want. It says in verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, mark this, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto, that is all the way up through eternal life by Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to just ask this. How many of you want to begin to reign in life by grace? Well, Brother Jason, I got saved some years ago in amazing grace. Honey, I need more grace today than I did yesterday. I need more grace today than I did 2 weeks ago. You're looking at a desperate man. I'm desperate. I want grace. What is grace? It's God's ability and enabling power. You know, God starts asking you to do things, and you know absolutely, as sure as you're sitting there standing here, I know I can't do that, you can't do it, but God's ability can. And so you become more than you are. Did you get that?
Yeah.
You become more than you are because you're discovering who you are in Christ. Now, quickly, Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And we're going to stay in Ephesians for a while. We may go to a few other places, but let me just encourage you to do this. Keep a piece of paper or a pen in the book of Ephesians, so you can find it readily. We'll be coming back to this for the next few minutes. I may deviate a little bit, as I say. But we're going to come back to Ephesians. Now, hear me. We're making a transition. So in your notes, just somehow write Ephesians. And we're going to look at a number of verses in Ephesians. But I have come to believe this. I believe that the book of Ephesians is the highest revelation in one place in God's Word on who you are in Christ. You need to study the book of Ephesians more than any other book if you want to begin to discover who you are in Christ. Over and over again in the book of Ephesians, you'll read this, in Christ, in Him, in whom? Some variant of that, in the Beloved, in Him, in Christ, in Him, in whom? In the Beloved. And every time you see that, you ought to mark that in your Bible. And I'm just going to get you started, but I believe the book of Ephesians shows us our exalted place in Christ. Not because of what you did or didn't do. In Christ, it shows us who we are more than any other single place in the Word of God. Now let's just get started and let's look at this. Everyone say the word discovery.
Discovery.
It is a discovery. I'm telling you what, it's an unending, unsearchable discovery, ever unfolding, of who you are in Christ Jesus. In one place, Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, oh, the depths of the riches of the knowledge of God. I mean, you just can't search it out. It's unfathomable. But I believe this, it comes by revelation of the Holy Ghost. And I'm expounding on it, I'm teaching on it, but I'm standing here, even while I'm speaking, so evident of the fact that we must have the power of the Holy Spirit cause this light to turn on in you. Let's all say this out loud as a prayer. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I open my mind,
I
open my heart for the revelation of the Spirit.
I want to discover
who I am in Christ.
Break the
in-Adam
mentality.
Dress me up.
Put it on.
The new man.
Who I am in Christ.
Change my identity.
Change my self-image.
Heal me on the inside.
In Jesus' name.
Now let's look at this. Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to hop around, but you follow me and you mark these verses. Ephesians 1, let's look at verse 3. I think verse 3 is an excellent place to start. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." Notice the tense there. Past tense. Everybody say has. It says, "has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Woohoo! Here's the phrase, mark it. In Christ. Now you see, the old devil and the old flesh will come along and say, "Well, you don't deserve the blessing. Last week you thumped the goldfish. I saw you." Or something, you know. "Last week you kicked the cat, or you didn't take out the trash, or you argued with your husband, or you were snappy with this person and that person." And those things may be true, which need to be repented of, particularly thumping that little old helpless goldfish. But there's a higher reality, and this is what I want you to see. There's a higher reality. You qualify for the blessings, not because of what you do or don't do, because of who you are in Christ. Christ has purchased the blessings. Christ has lived the perfect life. And so let's look at that. Ooh, that's good news. That's good news. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed Jason Peebles," put your name in there, "with some spiritual blessings." A few spiritual blessings?
All.
On Easter, some blessings? Everybody say all.
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
Everybody say all.
All.
Well, honey, I believe all means all. How about you?
Amen.
Glory to God. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places, mark it, in Christ. And so, you know, somebody said, "I'm so tired of sister so-and-so standing up always giving a testimony." Testimony night. She's always up there, got something to say. Just sit down. Well, honey, she's just enjoying who she is in Jesus and what God's done for her. You old sourpuss, you. If you get the in Christ mentality too, you'd be standing up there going, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ."
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. We need to get in Christ minded. In Christ minded. Now, when you're a little fella and you're in a home and your home is full of smoke, and your daddy's just stuck a rifle in your mouth to blow your brains out, you don't feel blessed.
No.
You feel abused. You feel confused. Because I don't care how bad a parent treats you, there's something inside of you that wants to love that parent anyway.
Yeah.
You get mad at him. You get angry at him. You want to strike back. You want to leave. You want to blow their brains out.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, you're this ambivalent fit. You're torn on the inside because I'm supposed to respect them. I'm supposed to love them, particularly if you're Christians. So here you go. No wonder people come up with split personalities.
Yeah.
No wonder it just breaks their heart right in half. Literally breaks their heart. Just as surely as a bone is fractured and you can see it on an x-ray. I believe if we had an x-ray machine that could x-ray people's spiritual condition, it'd just show broken hearts.
Yeah.
Some of them are clean breaks. Some of them are fractured. Some of them are communist. Just crushed. God can put them back together.
Yeah.
But you know, when you begin to think like this, even in an environment like this, now hear me, it takes faith. Even in an environment like that, you can say, "I am blessed in Christ Jesus with all blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They belong to me." You're defying your environment. You are defying. Your faith is standing there defying what seems to be obvious around you. But you begin to get minded that way and you'll come out of it. You'll not only come out of it, you'll bring them out of it. Guess who led my dad to the Lord? I led my dad to the Lord. I led my dad to the Lord. I'm not saying that in any boastful way, but I'm just showing you what a confused teenager can do when God gets hold of him. Your dad can come out. Get delivered from alcohol. Get saved. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how many of you would like to learn some of these blessings? See, verse 3 kind of is the lead in. All spiritual blessings. And then he begins to go, boom, 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 boom. Just enumerate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He begins to list them and get you started. Look at the next verse. Here comes one of the best things of all. According as he has chosen us. Here's the phrase, mark it. In him. Everybody say, "I'm chosen."
I'm chosen.
Everybody say, "I'm special."
I'm special.
I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
You know, did you ever go out, you know, in the, you know, high school or elementary school and they're picking teams?
Yeah.
And you weren't chosen. And I mean, that's a real nerve-wracking thing. You're standing there, oh, pick me, please, pick me, please. I don't want to be the last. Okay, we'll take Jason. You know, I mean, you know, we've all been through situations kind of like that where you don't feel chosen.
Yeah.
Or you feel rejected. You don't feel chosen. Well, I've got good news for you. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if you've been in drugs or perversion or alcohol or mixed up. I don't care if you've lived a kind of a decent, normal life. According to the Word of God, you are chosen in Christ. Everyone say, in Christ.
In Christ.
You ought to mark that. There's one of your in Christ realities right there. Verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well, go over to verse 6. I'm going to hop around a little bit. Go over to verse 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us, mark this, accepted, mark it, in the Beloved. Everybody say, in the Beloved.
In the Beloved.
Everybody say, I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
Not rejected.
I'm accepted.
I'm accepted.
In Jesus.
And so, you know, God the Father, He's out there picking His team. He says, well, it's time to pick the team. He says, I pick Jesus and everyone in Jesus. Woo-hoo! That's me. That's you. Praise God. We're on the team. Amen. He doesn't come up to Jason and say, well, Jason, let me see now. Okay, let's check your tithes. Oh, my God. Look at that. Okay. Let's see. Let's check it. Oh, the way you treated your wife. Wearing dirty underwear two days in a row. Oh, my God. Look at that. Oh, yeah. And you know, just pick you apart while you old ugly thing, you. Got a mole on your back. Look at that thing, you know. And just on and on you go. I want you to know, when he comes up to Pastor Paul, he comes up and he sees Jesus.
Amen.
He sees Paul inside of Jesus.
Yeah.
He says, Paul, you are accepted in the Beloved.
Praise God.
I'm accepted. Now, you'll never start feeling accepted until you start thinking you are accepted. You got to get your mind changed. Your mind wants to feel rejected. You ever met people that are always telling you all their problems?
Uh-huh.
Oh, how you doing today? Oh, well, I'm back. Oh, yeah. You find out more about them than you ever wanted to know.
Really? It's hard to ask.
More than you ever wanted to know. I like to meet somebody who's in Christ minded. How you doing today? Blessed in Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at some of the others. Isn't it, this is getting gooder and gooder, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at verse 7. Here comes another in Christ benefit. In whom? Whoop, mark the phrase. There it is. I mean, you can't hardly read a verse in the book of Ephesians without reading in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Beloved. Look at the next verse, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So the devil comes over to you and tries to make you feel condemned over something you've done in the past. And this is very common with Christians, particularly young Christians.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to walk with God. They're doing good for a couple of days. And then the devil will remind them of something they did. Could be years ago. Some sinful thing that they were involved in. And boy, there they go into a tailspin. They need to stand their ground and say, in Christ I have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of my sins. In Christ. In Christ. In Christ. I'm becoming in Christ minded. I'm becoming in Christ minded. Now listen, when I grew up and went through those types of things, and I could just go on and on, things that really don't give glory to God, but they happened. I can look back and I can remember that the change occurred when I began to discover. I didn't use this phraseology, but I began to discover who I am in Jesus. My confidence level was so low. You're looking at a guy who would stammer and stutter in an oral book report even in my second year of college. I mean, I did not want to get up in front of the class and even read a report. I would get red. I would sweat and perspire. And I mean, it was just like the most awful thing to have to get up in front of people. Why? I don't know. There was a lack of confidence in me. You can't grow up under verbal abuse and not have a poor self-esteem.
That's true.
You'll have it.
That's true.
You know, people talk about it all kinds of things. Well, inferiority complex. Or I just don't like being around crowds. I mean, they use different ways of saying it. I just don't have the confidence that I need to do. Those are all indicators that they really have not yet tapped into who they are in Christ. Because if you understand who you are in Christ, you know that you're chosen. Even if everybody laughs at your book report. You know that you're accepted.
Yeah.
You know that your sins are forgiven. Why? Because your mind has displaced the in Adam mentality. You put on the new man, the in Christ mentality, and you're walking tall and strong in Jesus.
Right.
In Jesus. In Jesus. Well, let's just go on. Go to verse 11. Kind of hop around a little bit. Chapter 1, verse 11. In whom? Everybody say, in whom?
In him.
Well, there it is again, folks. I'm telling you, you ought to mark it every time you see it. In him, in whom, in Christ. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Everybody say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
That was half of you. Everybody say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
Glory to God. How many of you like to get a big old fat inheritance? You've got one.
I got one.
Off there, Brother Jason, as soon as Ed Met Man knocks on my door. God knows I'll help the church. No, you won't, you lying thing, you. If you're not tithing off $1,000, you'll not tithe off $1,000,000.
That's right. Preach it, brother.
If you're not tithing off $100, you'll not tithe off $1,000,000.
No, you won't.
You'll be down in the Bahamas somewhere sitting on the beach wasting your money.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, God Himself. If God Himself delivered some people, they'd be in the same mess too much for that because they don't have any wisdom or any stewardship.
That's right.
But here's the thing. The truth is, hear me, the truth is every single Christian is a multi-millionaire in the Spirit.
Amen.
And be it unto you according to your faith is how much you suck out of the spirit realm into the natural realm and start experiencing.
Glory to God.
Now that's true for peace, that's true for love, that's true for joy, that's true for money, that's true for finances, that's true for your job, that's true for anything. You need to get in Christ minded. I have an inheritance. Somebody said, oh, I could just do so much if I got an inheritance. They didn't leave me anything. He left you everything. I said, He left you everything.
That's right.
And so, you know, when the flesh and the circumstances say, well, you don't have anything. Look at you. You don't have. What do you have to show for your life? You need to start getting in Christ-minded. I have an inheritance, and by the grace and the enabling power of God, I'll begin to walk in it. Not only think about it, I'll begin to manifest it and walk it out and see it come to pass. Amen. Now see, I told you about my past. Watch this. This is something that you don't ever learn and then leave it. I said you don't just learn this and then leave it. I'm going to In Christ 102. I'm going to In Christ 102 even as I speak. Because here, I've conquered the past and the memories, the inferiority. I mean, I've made great strides. Now watch this. Here I am. God said, get on radio. And my first flesh reaction is, me? And particularly when the radio station sends you those bills, how many of you know that car is wonderful until you get the little coupon book in the mail?
Yeah.
Then it becomes a thorn in your flesh. Those coupon books are made out of tissue paper and they're about this thick.
Uh-huh.
You know, and you can, it's just it just damages you to look to the back. Payment number 589. They ought to write on that thing, God bless you, you made it. And you're still alive. But here's the point. It's one thing to go around, do you want me to get on radio? Yeah. Do people need the Word of God? Yeah. Do we want to reach them? Yeah. It's another thing to do it. It's another thing when you take that contract and your hand has to write your name, Jason R. Peebles, whatever your name is, and you are obligating yourself to that station at the tune of $1,500 a month. That's when you better get your mind renewed right quick to who you are in Christ. You run over here to your In Adam checkbook and go, oh my God. Then you run over to the Holy Ghost checkbook and go, in Christ, in whom you have an inheritance. And honey, that's the moment of truth. What are you going to believe? What are you going to believe? In Christ. And so even as I teach and expound on this, I'm going to a whole new level in Christ. Class 102. And I dare say, 5 years from now, once I'm established on stations all across the United States, and I say that by faith, totally realizing who it's going to be credit to, the Lord, I dare say that there'll be 5 years from now, in Christ for Jason Peebles, class 103.
Uh-huh.
Are you getting this? And then 104.
Uh-huh.
It's unsearchable. Your circumstances change, so you have to learn a new reality of it.
Yes, you do.
You have to apply it in a new way. It's not something you learn and say, well, I got that down, I can forget that class and go on. No, you're going to have to carry it over and begin to apply it in every area. And so there's days, quite honestly, you know, something happens and you start feeling bad about it. You got to go right back to the basics. In Christ, I have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Well, the provision doesn't look good. In Christ, I have an inheritance. And I draw on it by faith now. Thank you, Lord, for a provision for every good work, more than enough, all sufficiency in all things.
That's right.
But I want you to mark this, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His will. Now I want you to mark verses 15 through 19 in your Bible. Just mark verses 15 through 19 in your Bible, and I'll tell you why. This is a prayer that you need to start praying for yourself on a regular basis. Brother Jason, I just don't know what to pray. Well, I'm showing you what to pray. The Apostle Paul prayed this for the believers at Ephesus. And let me just kind of summarize it. I believe here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He's saying this. Jason Peebles paraphrase. Believers at Ephesus, I've gotten you started on who you are in Christ. I've just told you. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places, redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, you're accepted in the Beloved, etc., etc. But I can't teach you everything, and so I am praying, most of all, that a spirit of wisdom and revelation will come upon you, and you will go far beyond what I can outline in this epistle. Oh, believers at Ephesus, I'm praying for the Holy Spirit, wisdom and revelation, to break forth into your mind, that you can be established in who you are in Christ. Now, folks, look, if this prayer in Ephesians was good enough for Paul and good enough for the believers of that day, how many of you believe it's good enough for us?
Amen.
Now, let's read this prayer. And again, I encourage you not just to read it, but take this home. It's in your Bible and start praying. Just open your Bible up and start praying this on a regular basis. Let's look at it. Verse 15. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints." Look at this, verse 16. "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my what?"
Prayers.
Everybody say, "my prayers."
Prayers.
Now, here's what he prays. Look at it. He says, "I pray," verse 17, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit." Mark this. This is what you must desire. "The Spirit of wisdom and revelation," mark it, "in the knowledge of Him." Oh, Lord, open my knowledge to who you are and who I am in you. Because in the knowledge of the Lord is the knowledge of myself. Did you get that? When I know the Lord better, I can understand myself better.
Praise the Lord.
There is no understanding of yourself apart from God. If you want proof of that, go to any secular college. They're trying to define man and they're making a mess of it. You leave God out of the picture, you don't even know who you are.
Really?
Much less the ability to fix the world's problems. He says, you pray for that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Mark it, mark it, mark it. And the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And I love this, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Did you know there's exceeding great power available to you and to me? But guess what? It comes through a revelation of the knowledge of God, who He is and who we are in Him. Who we are in Him. Now, I want you to mark this in your notes. This also tells us the position of Christ. Just mark that and it'll become apparent as we look at this. This passage also tells us about the position of Christ. It outlines the heavenly position, the exalted position of Jesus. Look at it. Verse 20. That power, verse 20, "which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead," mark it, "and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places," where? Verse 21, "far above." Everybody say, "far above."
Far above.
Do you believe that Jesus is far above every principality and power?
Yes.
Look at verse 21. "Far above every principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things of the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." You know, when I read that, I had no problem with it. I said, "Go get Him, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's exalted. I mean, I can get excited. Yes, He's far above every principality." You mean Jesus is far above every demon? Yes. You mean that Jesus is far above every name, inferiority, lack of confidence, abuse, sin, perversion, mental instability? Do you mean Jesus is far above that? Yes.
Amen.
Every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. Now, when I read that, I said, yes, yes, I believe it. It's another thing when the Lord says, you are there with me. You are there far above every principality, every power, every might, every dominion. You are far above every name that is named. That's when your flesh goes, well, wait a minute. I'm not me. Whatever. It's okay. I can understand that about Jesus, but not me. Not me. Little old wormy me. Go to chapter 2 and I'll just show you. Get your brain caught up with where the Spirit is. Look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2. Brother Jason, do I have a problem? Well, it's not a big one. You just need a brain transplant. Amen. You just need to put on the mind of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Mental transplant. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 5. Don't miss this, folks. Somebody says, well, I'm just not sure I'm there. Yes, you are. Look at verse 5. Even when we were dead, chapter 2, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Everybody say, I'm far above. Every principality.
Every power.
Every might.
Every name.
In Christ,
I am seated
far above
in heavenly places.
Now, folks, you just can't help but have a good day when you get your mind attuned to these realities.
Praise God.
It puts a pep in your step. You walk out the door, and I mean, it's just like, hello, world, watch out, here I come. Why? Because you're coming in Christ. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You abide in me as the vine abides in the branch in the vine. With me, you can bear much fruit. Did you know the vine and the branch share the exact same sap? Well, I tell you, Jason, I know the branch definitely needs the vine. Turn that around. Did you know the vine needs the branch? Why? Vines don't bear fruit. Branches bear the fruit. In a very real way, God needs you desperately to let His sap, His resurrection energy, who you are in Christ flow through you. Why? You're the one that's going to touch the world. The prophecies you had about the street ministry and things happening out of a small town. Jesus is not going to come down here and do it apart from His body.
That's right.
That's right.
And He can't do it through people who are walking around feeling inferior and down and depressed all the time. He's going to do it through someone who knows who they are in Christ.
Praise God.
And they have the confidence of the Lord within themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, see, your old flesh wants to fight it every step of the way. You just tell your flesh, hush up. I'm tired of hearing you, flesh. All you have is death anyway. I want life. I want to conquer my past hurts. I want to conquer my past disappointments. My future will be bright with the promises of God. Now, our identity, and I want to change gears here. I want you to just write the word identity. And then out to the side of the word identity, I want you to write sources of. There's different sources of identity. You can get so mixed up even in the ministry. I had one pastor, he told me this. He said, Jason, I thought I knew who I was in Christ. He said, but you know, I went to another level. He said, I used to look out there and when, you know, there was empty seats, he said, it affected my identity. He said, I'd stand at the back of the door. Some pastors do that, you know, and they'll greet the people as they go out. He said, everybody, but good message. Hey, here comes one person. One person that whole day. I didn't like what you said, Pastor, about me. He said, it ruined my whole day. One person. He said, finally, I woke up and realized, hey, my identity has become the ministry instead of the Lord. My identity has become what others, even in the church world, say about me. So see, some of us, we sit here and we think, I hope this message is helping those dear abused people. I hope this message is helping those who've had difficulties in their past. Did you know that even your successes can become the wrong source of identity? Even your successes and accomplishments can become your wrong source of identity and confidence. Let me show you this, and we're about through. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 10. Are you getting something out of this? Now, God wants us to be successful. God wants us to be fruitful. But just as sure as you start drawing your identity from that very success and fruit, you have in your life something called an idol. An idol. 2 Corinthians 10. Well, his position is far above. Guess what? Your position is far above, and you want to stay there. See, positionally, you can be there, but in your mind, you can fall from that experience of who you are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians 10. I just want to show you something here. Verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10. Let's start with verse 12. The apostle says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." Look at it. "But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." Can I just paraphrase that for you? You go through comparing yourself, you're dumb. Now, he's talking to Christians. And he's talking about other ministers. I don't know if you read, I better not mention any names, you know. But you start reading some of these Christian magazines, it turns my stomach. Before the conference has even happened, it's advertised in the magazine, "The greatest conference since Azusa Street, yet to happen 6 months from now." How do they know it's going to be the greatest one? Well, that's another one. Signs and wonders. We promise. How do you know? How do you know? Comparing themselves by themselves. Listen, it happens in the business world. I don't like to go to many ministers' meetings, quite frankly. You'll probably see this tomorrow when you go to Sunday's. I mean, you get, "How is your church doing?" First thing out of their mouth, "We're running 5,000. How many are you running? 5,001. You know, or "How's your business doing? Just bought a big brand new house. How's yours doing? Working on a big brand new house." And he says, you're going through life, your identity is not based in the Lord. It can happen even in the ministry. You know, where you go through life and you're not satisfied. I call that the sin of when. When this happens, God knows I'll be happy. Oh, dear Lord, once I get that new house, I'll be so blessed. Oh, once I get that new car. But the thing is, when never gets here.
That's right. Absolutely.
Go down to verse 13. Go down to verse 13. "But we will not boast of things without our measure. But according to the measure of this rule, which God hath dispersed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." He's talking about different measures of grace. See, how can an apple compare itself to an orange? If Pastor Paul, and he has, if his measure of grace is to pastor, how then can I, who have a different kind of grace to evangelize, how can I have a fair comparison with him? It would be absolutely wrong for me to say, you know, why don't I have a building like this? Why don't I have carpet like this? As wrong as it would be for him to come out and say, big time evangelist has to have an airplane. What does he need an airplane for? And start comparing back and forth as much as it would be for you with your neighbors or your friends. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Verse 14. "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you." He says, our grace does come to you, Corinthians. "But we are come as far as you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things beyond our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased that we," mark this, "we shall be enlarged by you." Did you know your grace can increase? If you're just faithful to do what God's told you to do, your grace will increase. 1 acre grace will become 2 acre grace. How many of you know if you got 2 acres, 1 acre don't work? I said if you've got 2 acres to plow and you've only got 1 acre of grace, 1 acre of grace doesn't work. And so when God begins to enlarge you, you'll start feeling a frustration. I've been right there. I've been very comfortable. I've grown into the grace, but now there's radio, and I look and I go, why? Because a little bit of grace I've had won't plow that field. But as I step in faith and obedience, that grace will increase as the Lord has given. He says in verse 16, and we're coming to the point here. Look at it. To preach the gospel, verse 16, he says, I believe that we'll preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. We're coming to you, we're going to be faithful, and if we're faithful with you, I know God will increase the regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hands. And here's the point. I want you to mark verse 17 and never forget it. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. There it is. Your identity is in what God has done for you, not in what you have done. Your identity and your glory, that is your purpose, your meaning, your self-image, should not be based in this or that. Your self-image, that is how you see yourself for the Christian, is wrapped up in Christ, not in your fruit. We appreciate the fruit. We like the fruit. We want the fruit. But as soon as you quit abiding in Jesus, honey, the fruit will start shriveling up. Right on the vine. Right on the vine. Right on the vine. We're putting on a new mentality. We're discovering something that we didn't know was there. I'll tell you the story in closing. You can fold your Bibles up. We're really through in the Word. But there's a story. This is a true story, by the way. There's a man named Mr. Yates that was a sheep rancher, raised sheep. And this was back during the Depression time. And as you know, everybody was losing everything during the Depression and so forth like that. And he was very close to losing his entire operation. And he lived in the Midwest. He would go out and pray. He was a Christian. He would go out and pray. I heard Dr. Bill Bright of Camp of Crusade tell this story. Mr. Yates would go out and pray, God, show me what to do. I don't want to lose my operation. I don't want to lose my land. I don't want to lose my herd. Lord, what should I do? Oh, God, what should I do? Just so happened that some wildcatters, some oil drillers, showed up on his property one day, and they said, we'd like to drill on your property. They drilled on his property, and they found one of the largest oil pools in North America. It's now called the Yates Pool. And literally overnight, Mr. Yates became a multi-millionaire because of oil that was under his property. Now, here's the thing. That was his all along. Even those days that he was out there saying, God, show me what to do. God, help me. And I see Christians like that. We're walking around on top of the in Christ reservoir. We're walking around on top of everything that God has provided for us, that inheritance in Christ. And we're about to go broke asking God to give us a miracle when all the time God says, drill down.
Yeah.
Drill down. Drill down and discover, tap in to who you are in Christ. It'll heal your emotions. It'll take the sting out of scars. It'll put energy in you, grace that will take you. You'll run faster than you can run. You'll do more than you can do when you become in Christ minded. It's a discovery. How many of you want to discover this?
Amen.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this teaching message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word literally around the world. I believe that we're living in one of the most exciting times of history, and it's friends just like you that make it possible for us to impact our generation for Jesus Christ. Now, here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're continuing to do it now through daily radio, conferences, crusades, cassette tapes, and literature. Now, the second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries in about 40 different nations. Now, these are full-time families that work underneath our umbrella organization. Most of these people have been to Bible school, and many have completed language school. Now, they're serving on the foreign mission field through our office, and our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize there are still millions of people around the world who need to be reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. Do you have a desire to be a part of something eternal in your generation and during your lifetime? Do you want to be able to look back and say, I was a part of making an eternal difference in reaching my generation? Well, if this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a few moments and contact our office and let us know. The easiest way that you can do this is simply to call our toll-free number and tell one of our receptionists that you desire to become one of our monthly supporters. What we'll do is simply record your commitment and then contact you by mail. It's that simple. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month. We ask people to pray for $20 a month. Or you may give more or give less. Whatever you can do will certainly be appreciated and it will help. So please, prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between the hours of 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Now, let me give you that toll-free number so that you can write it down and follow through with this and become a part of our team. Here's that number. The toll-free number, 1-800-832-WORD. That number again, 1-800-832-WORD. Or if you prefer to write and send your check, write to World Outreach Ministries, Post Office Box B, Marietta, Georgia, and our zip is 30061. Now, as I said, tell them that you want to become one of our new monthly supporters. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today. God bless you.